The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So that's another theory, is that he had an accomplice and they like were able to pick him up somehow.
Or, okay, he lands.
Yes.
He has his parachute. He has his money.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I made it. And against all odds, you know, the elements are out. But it's so cold. So he seeks shelter in a cave. But a bear lives there.
Oh, no.
Bear kills him in the cave. That's why they can't find any of the stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The bear killed him.
Bear is like, is this food? No, it's money. I'm putting it in the river because it's not food.
Right.
And then the river washes up a stack of cash. But it's been protected but in a cave the whole time.
Right.
So that's why, like, it looks, the rubber band's, like, so new. I solved this case, like, pretty easily.
Hello, and welcome to the shit that they do not tell you podcast.
Welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limon.
And my name is Steve Green. And today we are, it's a very special episode indeed.
I'm scared that you say that when you say these things.
Because today we're talking about the legend of the notorious story of D.B. Coopers. Have you ever heard of D.B. Coopers?
Only from you very briefly in passing.
So I've been very interested in this particular tale because it's a true story. It actually happened in 1971, okay?
Okay.
It's November.
Okay.
It's November 4th.
Okay.
This cat...
Scorpio season. Whoop, whoop. Am I right?
Wait, how is it November 4th if it's around Thanksgiving time?
Well, maybe they just met in the general vicinity of Thanksgiving.
No. This is very odd.
All right.
This is very odd, actually.
Okay.
Some of this evidence is really whack.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for preparing.
Hold on. Hold on. November 24th.
All right, so you were 20 days off.
Jesus Christ.
That would put us much closer to Thanksgiving.
Okay, so yeah, wow, that didn't make any sense because
I've
done a lot of research on this.
Not Scorpio season, sorry, I rescind. Now you made me say a false fact. It's actually Sagittarius season.
It is November 24th, 1971. There's a man. He's about 6 foot tall. He's wearing a nice dark suit.
Are you trying to turn our listeners on right now?
I'm trying to take him there. Trying to bring him there. By the way, it's the day before Thanksgiving, which is everyone's very, very favorite time of year.
Very favorite.
Mm-hmm. So he walks into the Portland International Airport.
It sounds like you're about to tell a joke. A six foot tall man walks into a bar, walks into an airport.
There's nothing funny about an airline being hijacked, Nikki.
Oh, dang. Like in GTA 5.
It's exactly like GTA 5, which I've done many times.
I know. You're obsessed.
I love that game, man. I miss it.
For almost a year, all I would see coming down the stairs is just my husband stealing planes.
That's right. Stealing planes.
On a TV.
Flying the fuck around. Flying them into all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So he bought a one-way ticket to Seattle. He gives the name. He bought in cash.
Okay.
He gives the name Dan Cooper.
Okay.
To the person. Because back then you could just walk up, buy a ticket. You didn't have to give ID, you didn't have to do anything.
Right. What year did you say this was?
This is 1971.
Mm. This is like back when the stewardesses were all like sexy models.
They're hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like being a pilot, I always remember that scene in Catch Me If You Can where Leonardo DiCaprio is surrounded by all these like hot stewardesses.
The hot Pan Am
ladies.
He
looks like really hot as a pilot.
Yep. So it was very hot stewardess
time.
Okay,
I'm trying to like paint the scene in my mind. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, hot stewardess time.
The stewardesses are all tense.
Okay, tight.
Okay, now you're there. Okay, so he boards Northwest Airlines Flight 305. And he kind of chills for a little bit. He gets a drink. He has some bourbon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smokes a cigarette, because you could do that back then, too.
On the plane?
Yeah. Back before the Nazis took over the airline industry.
Okay.
That's right.
Calm down.
People could be able to smoke back, apparently. So, yeah, he has a drink, right? And then he sits, like, in like the middle of the plane, and he hands a note to the stewardess.
A really hot one.
The perfect tan one.
Okay.
Well, they're all perfect. They're all perfect.
Tense. Yeah.
Okay. She opens the, he's like, ma'am, you want to read that because I have a bomb.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he has her sit next to him and she inspects his luggage, which he has her look at. And inside she describes what she thought was dynamite.
Shit.
Yeah. So then he starts making demands. He wants $200,000 in cash.
Wait, so he's going to rob an airplane?
That's right.
Wait, is he making demands to the government or is he making demands to like the airplane?
Well, he's using the airplane as, I mean,
like
he
he's
has,
holding
he's
those people hostage.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Because, yes.
Well, when you say making demands, I'm like, is she like going to the pilot and asking the pilot for $200,000?
Yeah, they have a vault of cash.
Right, that's what I'm like. This is an odd place to,
right.
It's an odd place to try to get a bunch of cash.
They're he's communicating to the stewardess who's communicating with the pilot who's communicating with the FBI.
Okay, see, whenever this kind of hostage situation happens, I always get confused because it doesn't seem like you're going to get away with it because if the FBI has to give you the money, like hand you the money, and I don't really think they had a lot of, did they do wiring back then? I don't know, maybe they did.
No.
Yeah, so I don't, like how.
I don't know.
They might have, we're not old.
I don't think they did though.
So yeah, but so it just seems like high probability you're gonna get caught because like, where are you gonna go, how far are you gonna get with that money?
So this is not the Old West anymore, right?
Basically
everybody who tries this shit gets caught, like you said.
Yeah.
This is the one guy who never got caught.
That's bananas to me.
Isn't that bananas?
I need to know how he got away with
this. Exactly. Well, that's what everyone's obsessed with.
Yeah.
That's why this is like a folktale now.
Oh, I love it.
Like, if we knew who D.B. Cooper was, he would never have to buy a beer the rest of his life because everyone's just so fascinated with how he got away with it, how he fucked the system and all
he's
that
like,
shit.
He's like Yoshi Takamoto or Satoshi.
He's like Yoshi Nakamoto.
Satoshi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was close.
Creator Bitcoin. Which, by the way, have you guys checked Bitcoin price? You're welcome. Okay.
By the time this comes out, it could have plummeted. You don't know.
It probably went over 20,000.
The date of this recording is November 18th, and currently Bitcoin soared above
18,000.
Mm-hmm. Cray, cray.
A minor correction to 17,000. Crypto about to explode, folks. I've been calling it for months. Okay, so back to D.B. Cooper. So he asked for $200,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wants a fuel truck in Seattle, which is where the airline is headed. Remember, mm-hmm. he bought a one-way ticket to Seattle.
Right.
He wants it to be refueled when they land. He also wants four parachutes brought to the plane. And by the way, this was a stormy night.
I see his plan.
There was rain. What's his plan?
Well, so I was thinking, how does he steal? I thought he stole the plane with all the passengers on it. I'm like, how are you going to get away with $200,000? You need to return the people, you know, but this makes more sense
right.
that he unloads the people, has a fully fueled plane and parachutes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Interesting.
So stormy night, heavy rain, cloud cover, right?
Yeah.
They basically are chilling up in the air for a couple hours and then finally they get to land in Seattle.
Yeah.
They don't land like in the middle of the airport at all because there's a bomb on the plane, they think, so they have him land like
further
furthest tarmac, right?
Okay, fucking Seattle with all your rain and,
you know what I mean, always
making things difficult, making these hostage situations difficult.
Exactly. So then they basically have them sit there to refuel the plane, and they sit there for a while.
Okay.
And DB Cooper's getting kind of pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, and the pilot's trying to, you know, when you're flying an aircraft, when you fly one of these big prop jobs.
Yeah.
All right. You want to file a flight plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So the pilot's starting to figure out how to do that, and DB Cooper's like, just fucking take off. We're headed to Reno.
Oh.
So then they allowed a bunch of the passengers to leave. He kept the crew and the pilot.
The gas didn't get refilled yet.
No, it did.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
And he got his parachutes?
He got his parachutes.
Then what? Oh, so he's just waiting for the money.
He got the money.
No, he got the money?
He got the money.
So what was he waiting for then?
For the refueling.
That's what I said. So yeah. He didn't get the refueling.
No, he did. While it was refueling, he was like, this is taking too long. What the fuck's going on? I already got the money. I already got the parachutes. So, I already let the hostages go, and I kept four.
So they just took off. He took off like as if you're at a gas station and it's still connected to the car.
No. He the pilot's trying to like have a flight plan with a certain way to get there. And
he's just
like,
stalling.
Exactly. That's how
yeah,
DB Cooper felt.
If that was DB Cooper, I'd be like, fuck this too.
That's how DB Cooper
felt.
Okay. I think.
Yeah, because like,
talked to him.
How did he know that they were done refueling though?
I don't fucking know.
Did it make a little click like when you were at the gas station?
Yeah, it makes a click. It makes a click. Yeah.
Okay.
So then they take off. Okay. And he basically says, we're going to Mexico City. Okay.
Smart choice.
That's where he tells the pilot and FBI where he's going to go.
Probably no rainstorms there.
Right. They basically say like, yo, we can't go to Mexico City because we don't have the
permits,
the payload to do that. Like, this isn't that plane. Sorry.
Mm.
So he's like, okay, fine, we'll go to Reno. Okay. Yeah. He wants $200,000 in cash. It's not like he's asking for like a couple million. This guy's kind of a white trash person.
Right.
Okay.
You think he was just a gambler?
That's what I want to think.
Yeah.
And I want to think that he made it to Reno and just gambled his life away there.
Yeah.
So they take off. They're in the sky. Okay. And at one point, he basically tells the flight crew that he would like to be left alone in the cabin. Okay. Mm. So they go to the front of the cockpit. They close the door. And they land in Reno.
He already took off.
And he had them lower the stairs in flight because on a Boeing 727, you could lower it from the inside back then. The stairs were underneath the aircraft. And so he had them lower it midair, and he didn't say when he was going to jump or if he was going to jump even, but obviously he had the parachutes, so you could figure it out. And then he jumped at some point between Seattle and Reno. Now, there was apparently the captain said that there was kind of like a movement at one point in the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the FBI suspected that he jumped. Like from him jumping off of it.
Did they remember where it was?
Did they remember?
Well, I mean, like,
that's really
that
funny.
Would be helpful information.
He's like, but I can't remember where it was.
Yeah. Okay. So
that'd be really funny.
Because I wouldn't bring it up if I didn't remember where it was. I just don't
bring
it up.
I'm so glad you're not in charge of that. So they suspect that he was 40 kilometers north of Portland.
Okay.
Okay. Basically in the woods. There's also lakes and rivers and all kinds of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Like, that's not a smart part to jump at.
No, and guess what?
Jump in the desert, man.
It was fucking cold outside. We're talking, it was 6 degrees below at the altitude he was
so
at.
So like if you make it past all the trees and water blockages.
Yeah, dude. You're carrying cash. Now, it was like 25 pounds of cash, but still.
What do they call it in golf? A water,
water trap.
No.
Yeah, they do.
They call it something else. I just saw it in Ron White's video.
It's actually called a water trap.
Water feature. I don't know. It wasn't called that.
All right.
The sand trap, but not a water trap.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
I hope we go on a tangent. Oh, that tangent. So basically, he gets away with it.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe. We don't know.
They're in the, well.
Okay.
The FBI searches the plane. He's gone. Okay. All the people on board were like, yeah, we don't know when he left because we didn't check until we landed, right? And 10 years goes by. So now it's 1980s, right? And a young boy, he's like in this place called Tina Bar, which is in Southern Washington State. Mm-hmm. and he's digging in the sand, and he finds wads of cash.
Mm.
And it's like degraded and all fucked up looking, right?
Oh, that sucks.
And he finds like $5,880.
Okay.
Okay, in cash. And the rubber bands are still wrapped around it.
Huh.
And something that people didn't know until a couple months after the incident, the bills that were given to D.B. Cooper were all traceable because they had, from the bank that they got them from,
yeah,
had a, in case of like ransom.
Yeah.
Like
good, that's smart.
Cash
see,
set
that's
aside.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do these people think they're going to get away with any of this? Like, it's whenever you like do hostage situations, they're going to trace it somehow. They're going to track you.
So this cash that was set aside, they had all the serial numbers on it, right?
Okay.
So then afterwards, the FBI is like, yo, we'll give $25,000 to anybody who finds any of these bills and all that kind of shit, right? So basically telling D.B. Cooper, good luck using this cash, buddy.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be checking
this. We're
going to
find you.
So, yeah, the FBI confirmed they were the serial numbers from the cash given to D.B. Cooper. At that point, they had discovered nothing in 10 years.
Wow.
Not one bill at all.
Wow.
And we don't know if he went to downtown Vegas and he was just at Banyan's where they don't really care. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, we know he's a Reno guy, so he could have gone down there. And, you know, I don't know if they're looking at the bills.
Yeah.
So, the question really, though, is the rubber bands.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because there was an experiment done in 2009, and they say that the rubber bands couldn't have survived in those elements for more than like a year.
Really?
But the fact that they were still intact leads some people to believe that perhaps they were planted there after the incident. So we're talking like within a year of the kid discovering them.
Oh.
Which is part of a grander theory that I will get into
okay.
a little bit later.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
What if, okay. So you think that they just replaced the rubber band with a different rubber band? Oh, you think it's the same rubber band?
I think it's the same rubber band, yeah.
But they were just protected from the
elements.
They
were protected from the elements gotcha. Somewhere. And okay. then maybe they were put there to perhaps get investigators off of somewhere's trail or somewhere's trail.
Damn, you lost $5,800?
They didn't shit out of $200,000.
I know, but like, well, I would think by then, after 10 years, your money's kind of run dry. But maybe you invested it properly. I don't know.
So eyewitness testimony from everyone on board. Now, you got to remember, eyewitness testimony is not great.
I know.
It's really unreliable.
It's terrible.
A lot of people.
You would fail so hard at eyewitness testimony because you don't remember people's faces.
You're not wrong. Okay. So the guy's 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
But that's only eyewitness testimony. If you ask me how tall somebody is, I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
You say under 6 foot, you just they're all the same height to you.
You're right. They're all just shorties to me, yeah. Big time shorties. And so I just can't kind of deduce that. Also, height, weight, all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much somebody weighs. I don't fucking know.
I know. It's kind of cool because you always think I'm taller than I am.
Yeah, I always
think you say something like 5'6". I'm like, okay, if you say so.
I always forget that you're 5'4".
Yeah. Oh, you got it right.
Well, yeah, because I just remember now that you're a foot shorter than me.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But
easy to remember that.
I'm not good at that shit. So yeah. The eyewitness testimony, basically the FBI puts out a sketch with all the eyewitness testimony put together. And
right.
They have some, like, it's just this standard looking dude wearing sunglasses the whole time because D.B. Cooper wore sunglasses the whole fucking time, which is pretty badass. But
that's pretty badass.
It's really
yeah.
badass to jump out of a plane in the middle of the night in a dark storm with sunglasses on.
So these sketches, like, is he hot?
I don't think he's hot.
You don't think, but you're a straight dude.
I am, but I get why people think Don Draper's hot, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going for that kind of vibe, but he just couldn't
pull
it.
Anyone mysterious is kind of hot.
Yeah, so that's why everyone's so interested in the story.
Yeah, it's kind of sexy.
So, 2016 comes mm-hmm. by. The FBI says, we are closing the investigation.
This is recent.
We're giving up.
2016.
Yeah, there's been no major developments. We've got no one that we think
it's like a 40-year-old case by now.
Yeah, dude. So, who did it, Nikki?
What do you mean, who did it? Well, D.B. Cooper.
Well, who's D.B. Cooper?
Oh, I see.
You think he gave his real name?
Do you think he's Satoshi?
Very nice.
He took that money
no.
and he created Bitcoin?
No.
All right. But I feel like he could pull it off.
You gave me the perfect segue, and then you killed it.
I'm sorry.
D.B. Cooper.
Yes.
Who is he? He gave that name, right?
Yeah.
It's not. That's not.
That's not his name.
That's not the name he gave.
Oh.
Back in the 70s, a stupid fucking reporter, like Satoshi Nakamoto, just looked up someone in the area whose name was D.B. Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, we think that this might be the guy.
That's not the name he gave, though?
No, his name he gave the name Dan Cooper. So everyone calls us D.B. Cooper because of a fucking idiot journalist in the 70s.
Okay.
Who just completely botched, like, missed, like, it's like the Satoshi Nakamoto case where a couple reporters were like, we think it's this guy named Satoshi Nakamoto. And then this poor guy had cameras outside of his house and he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's just this poor Japanese man who's like a professor.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm not Satoshi Nakamoto. Why would I give my own
name? Okay, but if I did do that, that's kind of a cool, like, I would just give my real name. And then it's easy to be like, what the fuck? I wouldn't give my real name.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah, not gonna lie.
And he's a professor, pretty smart guy.
It's pretty good.
Could be him.
Okay, so who are, so 1972 rolls around, right? This is a year after the incident. A guy named Richard McCoy Jr. He does the same exact crime.
Whoa. Wait, what's his name?
Richard McCoy Jr.
Okay.
He asks for $500,000 in cash.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be about the same amount, like, with inflation.
1 year
later.
It's
about the same value.
Yeah, 1 year later.
Oh, wait, 1 year?
In 1972.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said recently.
Inflation's kick ass,
dude. Oh, my God. Okay,
your
wait.
Your cash next
okay.
year is going to be killer. Just keep it in a savings account,
damn,
folks.
Sorry.
That's really funny.
Those treasury bonds, you know? Wait. So 1 year later, yes. this McCoy guy.
Yes.
And he's the same age?
He is not the same age. Well, he could, yeah, he they don't know the age.
The description?
The description was he's mid-40s, right? So, you know.
That's hot.
Does he fit that? He kind of does.
Yeah.
He was the right, like, kind of height, build, everything. Mm. Well, not height, I think, but build, everything else.
Okay. So maybe he ran out of cash or thought maybe I should have gone higher.
However, he was with his family for Thanksgiving at the time D.B. Cooper was in the air. So they ruled him out ultimately.
Oh, wow.
But This guy got caught.
Mm.
And then after this guy got caught and because of the D.B. Cooper incident, that's why now we have to get all of our luggage inspected and all this shit.
One bad apple.
They also installed in all planes this thing called the D.B. Cooper, or the Cooper latch or some shit, where you cannot put stairs down when the plane, like from the inside of the plane.
Right.
You no longer can do that.
Damn.
Apparently. Yeah. So thanks to these fucking assholes, now we're all safe. We have to deal with this shit.
We all like can't have bombs on planes.
Especially
no.
when you're in Orlando and you're waiting in that line and you're just like, fuck you, D.B. Cooper.
His name's not D.B. Cooper.
Dan Cooper, good point. Thank you. Okay, so.
I don't know. I'm kind of thankful for the regulations because, you know.
Moving on.
Some bad people. Okay.
Okay, so there's this guy named Kenneth Christensen.
All right. Okay. Is he hot?
He's not very hot.
Okay. That's what you're saying about all of them.
In 2000, and, what am I, on Big Mood right now?
No.
Okay.
Thanks for promoting our competitor, though.
No, I don't want to promote it. I unpromote it.
Everybody check out Big Mood to see if we're on Big Mood right now.
In 2010, there's a private detective who published a book which basically says that this guy named Kenneth Christensen was D.B. Cooper, who we all call D.B. Cooper, right? So there's a History Channel documentary that kind of went into like some of the evidence that maybe this guy was D.B. Cooper, mm-hmm. okay? Kenneth Christensen, he was in the army in the 40s. He was trained paratrooper.
Oh.
Right? The war had ended by the time that he was deployed in 1945, but he made training jumps so he would know how to operate a parachute, right? After he left, he joined the Northwest Orient as a mechanic in the South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he was...
That would put him in the right place.
Put him in the right place. Yeah. He was then a flight attendant, right? So that would, and then back then they had some pay disputes inside of Northwest Airlines where they used to call them Cobra Airlines, for, like the employees inside because uh-huh. they were being assholes about pay disputes and shit.
Okay.
So And D.B. Cooper, when he was on the plane, said the stewardess alluded to asking him, like, what, like, why he was doing this. And he said, she said, do you have some kind of grudge? He said, I have a grudge.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Right? Now, who knows? He could have been just bullshitting.
Yeah, sure. But, like, he didn't need to say anything.
Didn't he say anything? So then he was not quite perfect to what they said from the description. Like, he was kind of shorter than 6 foot by a lot. He's 5 foot eight.
Oh, this Kenny Christensen?
Kenny Christensen.
That's why you had to say eyewitness accounts aren't.
Exactly. Exactly. I was setting that up.
Right, I see.
Before
I
you
see.
Diverted it into the ocean.
I'm sorry.
And asking if he's hot.
I'm sorry. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Tight.
He was 45 years old at the time of the hijacking.
Oh, did Kenny Christensen like sunglasses?
He was a huge fan of sunglasses.
Oh, this is getting, the case is getting
He was arrested outside of a sunglasses hut.
Okay, I knew it.
In San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, wait, really quick. I know this isn't that important, but I love visuals. And were the sunglasses the round kind?
No.
Oh, damn. Okay.
They were sportier.
Damn, not as sexy. Okay, go ahead.
I think they're pretty sexy, actually.
Oh,
they're
now,
kind
look,
of more
look.
Steve Green sunglasses.
Look how
like my Ray-Ban Balleramas.
Now you're thinking he's sexy.
No, okay. I don't think he's sexy.
I think you're going to walk away not knowing if you think he's sexy or not.
I think I'm going to walk away forgetting the story because you're fucking
sorry.
Commentary.
How does it feel?
Nah, I'm always on it. Okay. What's so funny about this particular story is that his brother, Kenny Christensen's brother, really wants his brother to be D.B. Cooper.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool.
And so there's a lot of people who came out saying, yo, I think my brother was D.B. Cooper.
Wait, do they want their brothers to be D.B. Cooper because they hate their brothers and they want them locked up, or because they think it's a cool story?
Well, think about the film rights, TV rights.
Right,
like all
right,
that
right, yeah.
Financial incentive is heavy.
Oh, but how sad to throw your brother under the bus like that, because your brother's going to get fucked.
What if you hate your brother?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do they hate their brother?
I don't know. It doesn't say if they hate their brother. Fucking the kind of sterling commentary you get from the shit they don't. What they,
wait,
they
these
don't
are these are legit questions.
Absolutely, they are.
Also, like, I'm interested in the case. Also, I just like to know all of the details so I can be a detective.
Well, let me give you some details. D.B. Cooper's left-handed.
Okay.
Kenny Christensen's left-handed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He D.B. Cooper left behind only like 7 cigarette butts and a black clip-on tie. Guess who likes clip-on ties? I'm kidding. That'd be great. But no, apparently that the tie clip was like a left-sided tie clip, the one that they found on the plane.
And that's how they know he's left-handed?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Also, one of the eyewitnesses said that the photos of Kenny Christensen were closer than any of the other suspects that she had seen, as far as what she recollected.
But did this person, so this Kenny Christensen's brother, say this like around the same time, like in the 70s, or was
no,
this now
much
recently?
Later, much later. He was watching a documentary, his brother was watching a documentary in the 2000s.
Okay.
And he's like, oh shit, I think my brother's D.B. Cooper.
Oh, so he just showed an old photograph then?
Yes. Okay. Well, Kenny Christensen purchased a house with cash a couple months after the hijacking occurred.
Suspicious.
Okay. He also told his brother before he died in 1994, there's something you should know, but I cannot tell you.
What? You're about to die.
And yeah, and then his brother says, I didn't even ask what it was.
Aww, I'm like, what man. The fuck? That's like when we were watching the Paul McCartney is Really Dead documentary,
yes.
And like Heather McCartney was like, I have a kill switch just in case anything happens to me. There's secrets that like all the secrets are going to come out.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, is it that Paul McCartney's dead? We should take a break though and come back.
And we will.
And talk more about who we think D.B. Cooper is.
Yes. And what happened and things that are pretty interesting.
Okay.
When we return.
I love interesting things.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Hello, we're back from our break. And just to let everyone know, our producer.
A key piece of the story is getting uncovered here.
Mark has told us during the break, it's called a water hazard in golf, not a water trap. Thank you. I knew it was a water trap, but I couldn't put my finger
on it. I'm really
glad
that we've dug in.
The case is solved.
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
Okay.
So back to our good friend, Dan.
After Kenny Christensen dies.
Yes.
Family discovers he has gold coins. Well, that's not what.
But it's kind of.
But it's kind of sexy.
It is sexy. And it's also, well, what if he put his money into gold?
Because he could have. He also had a stamp collection.
Okay.
He also had $200,000 in a bank
account.
No, I'm not kidding.
What? No. Yeah. Really?
He had about $180,000.
What? But yeah. There are serial numbers on there.
Well, we don't know. But apparently it was connected to a land purchase or land sale.
Land sale.
Land sale. So not exactly the most D.B. Cooperish thing because he has a reason for having that money.
Well, what if he purchased, washed the money, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he purchased in cash and then the farmer or whoever sold him the land was like, I don't fucking care, you know? And so they took the cash and then he just sold the land.
Well, apparently he also had a mortgage on the house.
Okay.
And it took him 17 years to pay it off. Now, you could do that if you had a stack of cash somewhere and like, you know, it wouldn't be too stressful, I guess.
Yeah.
But still. It just seems like I think that his brother really, really, really wants him to be D.B. Cooper.
Uh-huh.
He also contacted like Nora Ephron, a bunch of people trying to be like, yo, you got to make this a movie. So
he's too eager beaver.
That's kind of my also the FBI doesn't think it at all.
Are there any other suspects?
Well, yes, there are. So there's a gentleman by the name of. I already told you about Richard McCoy Jr. He was the copycat.
Yeah.
So this
he's still in jail?
I think he went to prison, yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
Big time. So now this brings us to the next suspect. His name, Robert Rackstraw. Okay.
Rackstraw.
He flew helicopters in the Vietnam War.
Okay.
That means he's a pilot. When D.B. Cooper was on the plane, he jumped at about 200 miles an hour. Now, planes don't go 200 miles an hour regularly, right? But he also had them adjust the flaps and do certain things that really only somebody only who's pilots, a pilot would probably know.
I have a question. Then,
yes.
If I may.
Please.
I mean, you probably won't know the answer, but...
I think I do, actually.
Because we won't know. Well, you think my commentary is whack, but... If someone's a pilot and they know all these things, why do they need to even take the pilot and stewardesses with them? Why can't he just set it his own way, jump off? Who cares what happens to the plane?
So glad you asked.
Okay.
He asked for four parachutes, right?
Yeah.
The FBI was going to sabotage his parachute, but because he asked for four parachutes, they determined that they couldn't be sure that he wasn't going to take hostages with him.
Oh, that's so smart.
It's very smart.
Man, this guy's way better at stealing planes than me.
He is. Also, okay, well, I'll get to that
okay,
later.
Okay, yeah.
So, four parachutes.
Got it.
He basically cuts one of them up in order to strap the cash to his body with the strings.
Okay.
For the jump.
That's so smart.
Yeah. About 25 pounds of cash, by the way, once again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robert Rackshaw, he had... When they were headed to Reno, I told you he had specific flight requirements, right? When he was confronted about D.B. Cooper by investigators, he said that he could have been D.B. Cooper.
What?
Yeah.
That's a weird answer.
That was his response.
He wants to be sexy.
Yeah, right? Who knows? He also stated he was one of the only people who could close the case.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So detectives were like, are you D.B. Cooper? And he was like, could have been.
Not detectives. Oh. This is like, there was a couple of reporters got obsessed with this story. Uh-huh. And one of them in particular badgered him.
How'd they even find this guy?
They connected him to being like in the
War.
Profile.
Yeah.
And also because, well, I'll get into
Did
it.
Did they just look at all war vets and then they tried to find someone that matched the profile in the pilot's side?
Well, no, there's a couple things, right? So, he got kicked out of the army for lying a couple months before the incident. He also has this airline, this pilot experience, right? He stood trial for the death of his own stepfather.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What did he lie about?
What did he lie about in the army?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Good question. So that is a lot of Robert Rackstraw, we think it was him stuff.
You think he's just getting cocky, being like, could have been me.
His attorneys said that he was being a cheeky bastard.
Yeah, cheeky.
Because
yeah.
He was the guy. But then if you're his attorney, you're going to say that anyway.
Right.
But he was the guy who in wherever he was, his local watering hole, there had been enough talk about him being D.B. Cooper over the years because he's on the suspected maybe D.B. Cooper's list for a while that from all the people who are obsessed with the story.
Yeah.
That he's
so
just
cool.
Like, yeah, D.B. Cooper, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Not exactly incriminating. It's extremely,
yeah.
You know.
I'd do the same thing.
I would too. Make it your identity. Why not?
I could be Satoshi Yakamoto.
You don't even know how to say his name. I doubt you are.
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm playing a really good game.
Well, he always said in his emails, he always said Satoshi. So at least you got that part.
Thank you.
That's the only part you got. okay, so that's all the maybe Robert Rackstraw was D.B. Cooper.
Okay.
Okay. Here's all the buts.
Okay.
One of the flight attendants said that she did not find any similarities, like between the photos of Rackstraw from the 70s and then what she saw in real life.
Did she see a picture of him wearing sunglasses?
I doubt it.
Oh.
It's a good point.
Sometimes eyes completely change a person.
That's very true.
You know.
Rackstraw's attorney said that all this shit is a load of, quote, shit.
Okay.
And they know it is.
Professional.
And, yes. And the FBI basically said that they didn't think it was him.
Okay.
And that's all they got. And Rackstraw was pretty pissed about all this because he says that he lost a job over the investigation, like over all the notoriety that was happening because there was in 2016, people were starting to bring his name up a lot and saying like, oh yeah, he's D.B. Cooper. But they really never proved conclusively that he's D.B. Cooper at all. Yeah, it's pretty whack. In fact, there's so many videos out there, everybody, of people saying that the case is closed and it was Robert Rackstraw.
Oh.
But it is not closed.
Okay.
Like, they do not know that this is Robert Rackstraw
Thank
at all.
Thank you for clearing our good friend Robert's name.
Yeah. Well, he died in 2019.
Aw.
Yeah, but...
And his name never got cleared.
No, never got cleared. But he says that he would tell everyone he was the hijacker because he was just being a shithead.
Right. I would do the same thing.
You have to. So there's a couple things about this, right? Here's something that I think is also... I mean, look, when we talk about something like this...
Yeah.
How badly do we want a guy to take off... A plane's going 200 miles an hour. By the way, when they do military jumps, they're going about 150 miles an hour. They're going between 100 and 150 miles an hour. Commercial skydivers, they do it at like 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Or less, right? This shit is... Extreme conditions.
Pretty nuts.
Okay. You're talking about the Pacific Northwest. It's 7 below 0 outside.
Why did he request it to go that fast?
I don't know.
Like, why did he choose to make conditions not great for him?
Well, no. So the plane normally would have been going like 500 miles an hour. So he had him slow down at 200.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Chill factor, by the way, outside that night, this stormy night. Where you basically can't see anything.
Yeah.
Was 69 degrees below zero.
Ugh.
Okay. Also, the FBI gave him 4 parachutes, right? One of those parachutes, they realized later, it just goes to show there are morons everywhere. Okay. One of the parachutes they discovered later was a dummy chute.
Oh.
So it wouldn't have opened. So if he gave it to a hostage or if he wore it himself, it wouldn't have opened. So... There's a 1 in 4 chance D.B. Cooper died because the plane didn't.
That's what I think.
Of the chute.
That's what I think happened.
So that's the other theory is that he just didn't survive.
I don't think he survived.
I mean, you have to think about. He also selected a parachute that really it was like the older parachute. They gave him a bunch of parachutes, like 4, right? But one of them was an older one, and he selected that one, which is what made people go, well, maybe he was ex-military because mm-hmm. when he was in the service, he probably would have used a parachute that's more akin to that rather than the sportier parachutes.
Right.
But that parachute in particular, you really couldn't maneuver it. Like, if you were dropping down, you're really at the mercy of the wind, and you can't, like, you know how they have those things you pull where you can kind of adjust and move? You couldn't do that with the parachute that D.B. Cooper picked.
Huh.
Yeah. So... Also, if you look at the area 40 miles north of Portland where he jumped off, this is remote as shit. We're talking about woods.
Wait, 40 miles north? You mean south?
No.
He was headed towards Reno.
Yeah, but he took off from Seattle.
Right. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So, the woods where he's dropped off, we're talking about giant lakes, rivers.
Yeah.
That whole area, I mean, he would have been... By the way, he jumped in a suit with slacks.
That's hot, though.
And like
that's some
shoes.
James Bond shit.
But, bro, not for 6 degrees below.
Dude,
with
-60 wind chill. That's what I don't understand. Like, why? He's headed to Reno. I mean, why not jump in more favorable conditions?
You have to think about.
Maybe he thought that would take too long and the FBI would shoot him down or something.
There was, speaking of that, there was an escort. There was 2 fighter jets that were next to the plane the whole time. And those pilots never saw him jump.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's still on the plane.
He was still on the plane. That's the other theory.
He's on the plane right now.
He's on the plane right now. An old man. Still in the landing gear area. Yeah. Smoking cigarettes and drinking bourbon. $200,000 he couldn't spend. So something that I find interesting about this is... Do you remember the Chandra Levy incident?
I remember people talking about it, but I honestly don't know what happened in that story.
So this is an intern in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that this guy named Gary Condit murdered her because they were having an affair and he was a congressman there. And they couldn't find the body. And basically a year later, they found her body in the woods.
Mm.
That's how, like... you can get lost in the woods, or I'm not saying she got lost, she was murdered, but yeah. I'm saying that's how a body can be lost in the woods for a long time.
For a long ass time.
Now you're talking about maybe he gets caught in a tree.
If you don't have hikers hiking by, then your body could sit out there for a while.
And even look at what I described with the little beach where the kid found the cache. Like, that's in a remote area too. If you pull out that map, you're like, holy shit. And from where the suspected D.B. Cooper's parachute zone was, mm-hmm. and where this cache was, the cache would have had to go like up and downstream in such a way that it makes no sense. Because of the way that the rivers moved, the motion of the rivers from where they thought he had landed, it just didn't make sense as to why the cache ended up at this particular sandbar. So that's why I think either he died.
Yeah.
Okay. And the cache just got, you know, somehow got dropped there. But it doesn't make any sense because why are the rubber bands intact?
Well, I mean, there's always like standouts, you know, like anomalies where, like, what if the rubber band, I don't know the science behind it, but maybe we rolled down in salt first and then like it protected it or something like that. Yeah. You know, I don't really know the mechanics of rubber bands, but.
But Robert, back to Robert Rackstraw.
Yeah.
He was in the San Diego area and he was already being accused of D.B. Cooper a bunch and shit. And people were on his ass. So what if you kind of try to adjust things or try to maybe he buried some cash out there to kind of fuck with the investigation is another theory.
Mm.
But I don't know how it gets the eyes off of him at all.
Right. Why don't another thing I don't understand, you didn't ask for very much money. Like why?
$200,000 in 1971. It's pretty good.
Not really, though. I mean, like if you're asking the FBI, if you're holding a plane hostage, mm-hmm. like the amount of risk and reward, it doesn't seem like very much.
Well, think about this too. For every, you know, $100,000 he adds, that's more weight he has to carry.
Oh, right.
And he's getting dropped off in some remote area.
Man, he thought of everything.
What I don't understand is why didn't D.B. Cooper wait to get out of the storm and get to like better conditions? Because maybe he had somebody who was following the plane, right? Mm-hmm. There was time. He knew where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to Seattle, one-way ticket. He knows somebody in Seattle, potentially, allegedly, I don't know. They drive to a particular area where he says he's going to try to jump towards, right? Yeah. He kicks everyone out of the cabin so that nobody can know when he was jumping, so that he has a wider search area for him. They deploy the National Guard. They search every fucking single area of this place. They don't find anything. No cash, no nothing at the time.
Mm.
No nylon, no parachutes, nothing.
Nothing.
So, and certainly no body.
Huh.
So that's another theory, is that he had an accomplice and they like were able to pick him up somehow.
Or, he lands.
Yes.
He has his parachute. He has his money.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I made it. And against all odds, you know, the elements are out. But it's so cold. So he seeks shelter in a cave. But a bear lives there.
Oh, no.
Bear kills him in the cave. That's why they can't find any of the stuff.
Oh, shit. Yeah. The bear killed him.
Bear is like, is this food? No, it's money. I'm putting it in the river because it's not food.
Right.
And then the river washes up a stack of cash. But it's been protected in a cave the whole time.
Right.
So that's why, like, it looks, the rubber band's like so new. I solved this case, like, pretty easily.
Man, the FBI really is not good.
They're not doing their job.
They're not really good. Wow.
I mean, think about it. I just put clues together.
No, that's pretty good. So I think there's another interesting theory here.
Okay. More interesting than that?
It might be, but it might not be.
Okay.
It'll be up to the audience to decide.
Okay, you can decide. Leave us a note in the comments.
Okay, so you have the airline crew. They're all pissed. They call Cobra Airlines.
Right.
They say that there's all kinds of union and pay disputes. Who actually saw D.B. Cooper that day?
Right.
Who actually took the cash and said, like, I am an eyewitness. I saw D.B. Cooper.
Oh, I thought about that, too. Like, maybe he shared the cash with them.
Or maybe D.B. Cooper doesn't exist. Maybe there is no Dan Cooper. And they just said, oh, there's a guy on the plane. He has a bomb.
Oh.
We want $200,000 in cash. Don't come on the plane.
I love this theory.
This is pretty good, right?
This is great.
Okay. Don't come on the plane. But my only question is, how did they hide the cash? Because once they land in Reno, the cash is gone. And so are the chutes.
Wait, could they have stuffed it in like the plane, something like the roof of the plane?
I was thinking maybe they stuffed it in the overhead compartments.
No, not,
and the FBI didn't check the overhead.
Okay, but that's too obvious. Like I would have cut out a patch in the ceiling or something. Yeah. Like
I would have put it where they put the life vests, because nobody gives a shit about that spot.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Or stuffed it into the life vests.
Right.
Yeah, that I like that theory.
Isn't
a lot.
Interesting?
That's great.
Because the only people that ever saw D.B. Cooper would be people maybe on board who are financially incentivized by keeping the motherfucking cash and splitting it.
Right. Also, the escort planes, the fighter jets, they never saw him jump.
Never saw him jump. But it was dark. It was windy, stormy. Who the fuck knows?
True.
Like, that's a whole different ball game.
Huh. I like that a lot.
Right.
Because then it also makes sense. Like, the guy that tried it the next year, he heard the story. He's like, oh shit, I got those credentials. I could do that.
Yeah.
And then they caught him immediately. Yeah. So it's like, well, how come Dan Cooper had it so easy?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this, like I said, it became a folk legend.
Yeah.
But
well, also
no...
the way that their clues were left, it was like a cartoon version of a, like, the clues were like seven cigarette butts and a clip-on tie that fastens from the left.
Right.
You know?
So the only problem with that particular theory,
yeah,
is there were eyewitnesses, the people who were released from the plane, not the crew. They saw somebody sit there pretending to be somebody who's talking to this, like, lady with the attaché
right.
suitcase.
But it could have been a plant. Like, it could have been one of the people that work on the airline. Like, it could have been, like...
But then wouldn't they have identified this guy and been like, that's the guy who works at our airline? You know what I'm saying?
How?
So,
if the internal crew, the only people that saw him, the four people that were hostage...
Right.
If they're the only people that saw him...
Well, then you have the people who were also passengers who saw him.
Right, I know, but they don't know what the pilots look like.
Right.
So, or the...
Or everybody.
Yeah, so there. Like it could have been a plant, like from someone, an employee from the inside, that one of the people that's on the plane, like one of the four. It could have been them dressed up like a passenger.
I see.
You know?
It's interesting.
And then all the people leave, they get out of their passenger gear.
That's a pretty good heist, I gotta say.
That's a great heist.
It's a good heist. So that's I'm between he died.
But how would they hide the parachutes?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so... How do you hide the cash? How do you hide the parachutes?
Yeah.
Do I assume that maybe there's a place on the plane where the FBI doesn't know about? Not really, because the Boeing 727 was the most popular airline at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the one that everyone used. Like, if you go to an airplane museum right now and you look for that era, that's the plane that you see.
Did the FBI check their luggage?
No.
See?
They never checked their luggage. They didn't check their shoes either.
Or the passenger luggage that was left on board from the passengers not getting their luggage?
I don't know. I mean, apparently there's been a bunch of people who have come out over the years and said, like, yo, my I had a family member who was an eyewitness who was there that day, and they were just scared shitless.
Wow.
So who the fuck knows? I'm just having a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, no, I'm having fun with it too. Yeah. I love this shit that it's like so mysterious.
It's pretty cool.
But it just makes your brain go like, ooh, what's the sexiest theory?
I just think about a guy in a suit jumping out of a plane in a storm in the middle of the night with $200,000 in cash, and he gets away with it.
I mean,
that's so sexy I can't even fucking handle it.
It's super tight. I'm not gonna lie, it's tight. But it sounds like
also,
a cartoon.
There was, well, speaking of that, thank you for the perfect segue. There was also a comic book that was released before this incident that was Canadian. And it was called Dan Cooper, and it was like this Canadian superhero who is wearing a suit, and he's wearing a parachute.
See?
And he's like in midair. That's the cover.
One of those airline people, they saw that comic book. They were like, oh my God, what if we pinned it on this, like someone like this?
Yeah, this folk hero that already is a folk hero.
And we say that that's what happened. They wrote it all out first. They're like, oh my God, brilliant. Then they acted it out to all of the passengers that were on board. Once the passengers deboarded, they're like, ha ha, we got money.
If you Google Dan Cooper comic, you'll see that picture. And it's pretty pretty interesting that that happened before this incident.
They got, well, if you would have said it happened after or like in the same time, then maybe that would have been like, ooh. But the fact that it happened way before, that they made the comic way before, it makes it more seem like someone got inspired by that comic.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So is there a dead body out there in a tree somewhere in Washington State?
No.
Like with cash that's disintegrated? I'm convinced
it was one of the on-flight people. But the fact that they had never found the cash, like the
no bills the were spent.
Yeah, no bills were spent. That's so,
no bills, not one.
So that's what, that. Well, I guess that also adds to the theory that it's probably an internal thing because it's like they just had a grudge.
Okay, so that's the other theory. Thank you for that. There's one more theory that this person was either somehow a government agent, FBI, CIA, and they were embarrassed that one of their own did this, and so they covered it the fuck up.
Oh.
And so we all know that that would never happen, right? Yeah, right. So that's why a lot of people think that maybe it was just a total inside job that
Of the FBI, though, you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking inside of the airline where they had the Cobra Airlines, where they were having all these disputes.
Theory. But yeah, this is one of the alphabet agencies discovered that it's one of their own, and they to cover up, to keep their agency from looking bad, they covered it all up and then said, oh, we can't find anybody. Sorry, no suspects announced. Super weird, by the way. No suspects announced. Nobody ever arrested. Nothing. Just gone. Just like, hey, forget this ever happened. Investigation closed 2016. Nothing to see here. So that's another theory.
Weird.
So now I have revealed every single theory that I was aware of.
I wonder what Kenny Christensen's secret was.
I know, right?
What if he just wanted to come out, you know? But like, he couldn't at that time.
He's like, I got to tell you something, man. And then his brother's like, nah, you don't have to.
Yeah, man.
That could be.
Yeah, because like, dang, we'll never know his secret.
No.
Unless it's that he's Dan Cooper. Yeah, that's great. I like the sexy mystery of
right?
it all. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one that has been in pop culture for a long time.
Did you say what you think it is?
I think it was either Rackstrom or it was, because he just, dude, I saw somebody line up two pictures of the profile sketch of D.B. Cooper and this guy at around the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it just looked spot on to me. But that's so, you know, that's just one part of this thing. But
even
the fact that he had experience and that apparently D.B. Cooper was up there given technical specifications to the pilot.
Yeah.
He's able to make he's willing to make a jump in 200 miles an hour. Whereas if you do commercial jumping, you're jumping at like 90 miles an hour. So I think his ballsiness of wanting to jump at 200 miles an hour tells me that he probably had some kind of experience, which is what that guy had. So, and he also survived, like he was alive until 2019. So that means he would have made the jump and he would have somehow figured out how to launder the cash.
Interesting.
Not implausible, not impossible. Right. I just don't know where the fuck the cash is.
Right. That's what. That's
except for $5,880.
That's what's weird about it.
Yeah.
I think my bear theory is correct.
You think it's your bear theory?
Yeah.
It makes sense for why the cash was not fucked with exactly. that much.
All of it makes sense.
Can't really deny
I left
it.
No holes.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, let us know what you guys think because that's a good one. A good one, a good mystery is one that you're like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
My head is fucked.
And there's so much to this stuff. I highly recommend, there's a YouTube video about this. Can't remember what the fuck it's called.
Oh,
just
nice.
Just look up D.B. Cooper. It has like 5 million views. And the guy goes into really nice detail about it. Yeah. Everything. And
he thinks it's that Rexford guy?
No, he doesn't say.
Oh.
Which is why I like. I like when those guys do
that. Yeah, me too. But I don't know. Like you said, that was the one that the stewardesses were like, no, it doesn't look like anything like him. Unless they were trying to protect.
No, wasn't Kenny the one that didn't look like him?
No, Kenny was the one that looked like him. You said it was the closest that looked like
him.
That's
right. Kenny looked like him.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. But I just don't know because, Yeah, you're right. That was Robert Rostrum.
Oh, I know I'm right.
Okay, so, but that's what, yeah, that's what I don't, that's why I don't trust eyewitness shit.
Or they're in on it, like they got paid a certain amount.
Right.
But then if that were the case, I would think one of them would have slipped up and spent the bill somewhere and gotten caught.
But think about this. He had motive, right? He gets kicked out of the army for lying. He's kind of like fucked. And he's, yeah. Now he's got to figure out what he's going to do for work. And he's like, fuck this shit. I'll go, you know, get $200,000. I don't know. That's kind of a stretch, but.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could just, I mean, for the amount of work that takes, damn, there are easier ways.
If somebody was like Steve Green, you're D.B. Cooper, I would totally say I could have been.
Exactly. Me too.
So I don't think that's really good evidence.
Right. That's not one of the things that makes me not think it's him.
Yeah.
That's not one of the ones because I would totally do that.
It's tough, dude. It's tough. When somebody's brother goes, my brother liked bourbon and he liked bourbon. I'm like, bro, you've been watching too many documentaries.
I know.
I mean, you're out of your fucking mind. I love that shit, though. It's crazy. So thank you very much for listening. Shit They Don't Tell You.
Yeah.
We hope that you guys enjoyed this and please rate us 5 stars. It helps so much. You have no idea.
Yeah, please do that. But just, I mean, we're going to end the episode, but it's wild because I was watching the Ted Bundy documentary and how like his girlfriend like was hearing on the news about this killer, but like didn't know that it was him the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I mean, there were like similarities. And then once she kind of like suspect, like once his name Ted came out, like one of the suspect or one of the victims gave away that I don't know if it was a victim or an eyewitness, but that was like, oh yeah, we heard this guy Ted was trying to pick up girls in this music festival. And then one of the girls disappeared. She was like, whoa, it really matches the description of my Ted. And then they broke up shortly after and it was him.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like, you know, bourbon and bourbon, sometimes.
Sometimes.
It is. Sometimes it is. So be careful who you go to bed with at night.
Nice. Way to close it out.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Be suspicious.
Be very suspicious. You know who else likes bourbon? This guy right here.
I don't.
I'm suspicious.
I like tequila.
The only thing that's clearing you is you weren't alive in the 70s.
Damn.
It's the only thing that's clearing you. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time.
And check out our Patreon.
Peace. Oh, yeah. Patreon.com/sticky. We do live shows every month, and then we also do extra bonus episodes of Shit They Don't Tell You.
And you can also get the show one day early.
That's right.
Our Patreon.
And the video 2 days early.
That's exactly right.
See you then. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.